Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 45, the 4x5 show. This week's guest is Kath Cartman. Kath comes to talk with us about inspiration, her self-portraits, and orthofilm. Back to the podcast. This is show 45, 4x5. Andrew,
five by four.
How are you?
I forget which way. I'm very well, thank you. Oh. I forget which way it is. Is it? Do we say 4x5 and you say 5x4, or is it the other way around?
The other way around. You say 5x4 and we say 4x5.
Well, yeah. Saying I just say 4x5 because I think I'm becoming Americanized by spending so much time with you.
You're nearly there, man.
I know, 4x5. 4x5 is actually a bit easier to say than 5x4. I don't know why we say 5x4. It's nuts. Have you had a good week?
Yeah, I've had a great week. Got some stuff developed. Finished shooting with Mike Walker's Titan, the 4x5 I got from him. And
Do you find you're using that in a different way? Because it's not with my roll film cameras. I kind of put those down in different places, you know, without really a tripod. But I'm kind of drawn to tripods with Mike's Titan because it seems that you should have it on a tripod. So I'm finding I'm using it for different types of pictures.
Well, I use mine with a smaller little tabletop tripod that I used. And I liked it. The aesthetics of the camera and using it. I mean, it's great. I'm hoping maybe he'll make a wider cone.
Yeah, it's not so wide, is it? I don't know. It's not so wide as
that I'm used to that I really like, you know?
Yeah.
It's only 72 millimeters, I think. And I think I'm used to like 28 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's definitely like different. So I think, that is quite nice to have a variety of focal length, but you have to get your head around using it in a slightly different way, I think.
Yeah, well, I've gotten to the point now that with all the cameras I have and I use, I'll have one and I'll only use it for something specific, you know?
I'm moving towards that as well.
And I grab this for that or I'll grab that for this. If I'm just going out and just want to have something with me, I'll just bring my little Reality 6x6, you know? And I got a new phone, though, so I'm going to be making myself a new iPhone box camera.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. My other one got wet, and it kind of started falling apart, so time for a new one.
Well, I made a few pictures this week. I'm not shooting much in terms of actually making new images because I've got so many negatives that I'm spending time in the darkroom. And as you know, this year marks the return of the lith, so it's the year for lith printing. Salt printing is so 2018.
18.
No, but I'm spending more time in the darkroom because, you know, you just can't keep producing negatives if you're not going to do anything with them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just produce negatives to share to social media because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, I want to make prints for a reason.
Well, we'll talk about that too.
And
show with our guests.
We have a new special guest. Should I introduce our guest, Curry? Would you like me to do that?
Go ahead.
Well, today, folks, we're joined by Kath Cartman, who claims she isn't from Norwich or Norfolk, but she is really. but I think she might have grown up in Essex, but we won't hold that up against her. So, Kath, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, we're all okay. I've got one more day off work because it's my birthday tomorrow. Did you know it's my birthday tomorrow?
I did. Happy birthday. No.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the card and present, Corey.
They're coming. It's coming. Just hold tight.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So I have a day off tomorrow, and Julie and I are going to drive up to King's Lynn. Kath will know where King's Lynn is.
Yeah.
And we pick up our mother-in-law, or my mother-in-law, and we're going to probably go up to the coast, to the beach, to do some photography and have some lunch somewhere.
Do you, where you guys are at, do you have beaches like we have here? You have a mixture of rocky cliffs, and then you have flat, sandy beaches, right? I mean, you have kind of like in between. And
Kath, what's your nearest, where would you go if you wanted to go and photograph seaside?
I would I would tend to go east to Winterton or Waxham, out that way. And they're very flat, very sandy beaches, beautiful. Yeah. Well, of seals. We have loads of seals. Lovely.
Really?
Mm.
I don't have seals.
Yeah, they come, you can stand on the beach and see them bobbing along and they come up onto the sand, don't they, Kath?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Have you managed to pinhole a seal, get close enough?
I have taken my pinhole camera down to Waxham and carried it along there, but I haven't taken any of the seals. It's on my list too.
The thing about the UK, Corrie, is that the coastline, you know, such a small country. Like, so in the summer, in June, Julie and I, we're camping in Cornwall. So Cornwall, in the middle of Cornwall, it's quite flat, but the coastline, right. the coastline is very dramatic, you know, very
cliffy,
up and down cliffs, lots of granite down in the West Country. And in where Kath lives and where I grew up, it's on the east side of the coast and there isn't really a hill to speak of. If you go around the Norfolk coast, there are some sandy cliffs, but they're being eroded by the North Sea, you know, and so people's houses are falling into the sea.
Yikes.
And it's quite a problem, really.
We have that happening over here too with the Outer Banks and everything's built on sand dunes and people's houses are just, yeah, being reclaimed, basically.
Yeah. If man interferes, you see, so you can put sea defences and those wooden, what they call groins in the sea, all that does is change stuff. And so someone else further along the coast gets affected.
Yeah.
But it has a real, that East Coast has a real kind of end of days feeling to it. That's kind of why I like it.
It does.
Bit of a vibe there.
I always, because it's where I grew up, so I kind of drawn to that area, particularly out of season. I love photographing all those old seaside towns like Hemsby and Winterton, all out of season.
Well,
fish and chip shops, amusement arcades
and chips, boardwalks.
No, not so much.
Well, we do. Yeah. Ah.
So, Kath, you're living in Norwich,
but I
know you didn't grow up there, and I know you went to university in Nottingham because we had that conversation. So why don't you just take a few moments to tell us about your photographic journey? You don't need to tell us your whole life story if you don't want to.
No, I don't want to. It's probably a bit dull, and we might not fit it into the hour either. Photography, yeah. So I studied photography at Nottingham Trent, kind of took it through a fine art background. So I'd done art A-level and then an art foundation course. Spent 3 years there studying, did some pinhole while we were there. Brain exploded a bit from the reciprocity explanation then, put me off a little bit. So didn't really pursue it beyond that. But I've come back to it later on and love it now.
Was your course film based? Corrie will tell you all about reciprocity. Sorry, Kath, go ahead.
I'll try and understand. Yeah, it was all film based. I'm old enough that it was purely analog. There was a few computers with a bit of an early version of Photoshop just being introduced, but I had no interest whatsoever in it. We had a colour, a colour darkroom as well, which I spent a lot of time in, which is quite, colour printing is quite challenging. It was all analogue.
Sorry about that.
Was that you? Were you playing your? Were you playing your organ? But that sounds wrong.
We had enchiladas last night for dinner, so that's why.
Was that your tummy?
I agree with color printing. It's very hard, Kath. I went through a program and we were the same way with Photoshop, and I was totally like, I don't care about any of this stuff. When are we ever going to need any of this stuff? Nobody's ever going. This isn't going to catch on, you know. So like, totally like, just blocked it off and got missed by that whole wave. I was way behind on all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is it harder to be expressive with color printing? Because with black and white, you can be very expressive just through the amount of control you have. But can you get creative with color printing, or does it end up being a more of a literal process?
No, I did a lot of cross processing. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so because I was and still am a bit obsessed with kind of Kodak colors, you know, the high contrast, the bright reds, those really saturated colors that
old,
are only
the old Kodachromes.
The additive colors, the additive process. So the only way, well, the best way then was to cross process slide film into C41 to get those sort of colors. But then you're dealing with sort of inaccuracies, so the printing is even harder because they're not natural colors, so it frees you up in a way, I guess, because you're not trying to replicate anything that's real. But it's it's challenging, definitely.
I've done a fair bit of cross processing in the last few years, and I went through a phase of buying some old Fuji stuff, not the latest stock, but the stuff from sort of 5-10 years ago. And that, I think, some of the latest Fuji stuff, when you cross process it, you struggle with heavy green casts, which I guess you
can
get rid of. But I was looking back at some cross process stuff I did 4 or 5 years ago with Fuji RVP50, I think. And that they were great, but I never printed anything, but I always found it's a bit, well, not really hit and miss, but I think it's a bit, there's so much sort of the end process is dependent upon how you scan it and how you fiddle with different channels and things, because you don't know what it's supposed to look like. So it must be double difficult if you're trying to print it.
There being two dials that you've got to deal with rather than just the one, and a, you know, to change the dial just by one or two notches makes such a huge difference to the to the color cast. It was challenging,
definitely. Yep. And then, like, you don't have the ability to do toning like you can with black and white. I mean, it's just I didn't like it that much. I had to do it for projects, so I did it. But and then when you print slides, it's the exact opposite as black and white. More light you give it, the darker it gets. The less light you give it, the lighter it gets. Frustrating.
Well, frustrating. I've never printed color, but I've printed black and white for years and years and years, but not color. So your pinhole, what was your pinhole experience like at university? Kath, you say you got a bit turned off by reciprocity, but what was the teaching like?
It was a project that we had, you know, we sort of had to do. We had to construct a camera, and then I think it just all felt a bit overwhelming and technical the way it was taught. It wasn't taught in that lovely homespun way that which is what I love about it now. I love that it's all very hit and miss, and you can make mistakes. There aren't any mistakes. It's just how things came out. The fact that you don't know what you're going to get as well is another reason I love it. I guess maybe because I did then spend some years teaching myself digital and trying to come up to speed with that, it just feels so the opposite of all of that. And yeah, that's why I love it.
I agree.
So your images, Kath, have a very sort of consistent, so what I observe looking at folks, if you want to look at what we're talking about, Kath has pinhole images on her Instagram site, which is just Kath Cartman, all one word. So you can see Kath's images, and what I love about people like you, Kath, is that you have a very consistent feed. Well, recently you do, there's some color ones suddenly jolting at the bottom, but overall it's a very consistent feed, and I love that, you know. I love, because it's almost like a gallery. Some people use Instagram in a scattergun way, some people use it like you. I just happen to like seeing a body of work that's, you know, kind of thematic and similar tonal. So that's one thing I observe. Second, I observe you just love images of the self, and that we've had so many guests on who use themselves for self-portraits. Why do you use yourself for self-portraits, if you answer in a different way to the others?
Well, it's certainly not vanity, because I don't aim to look a certain way in them. I don't really like a lot of photographers. I don't really like being photographed.
No, me neither.
I'm sorry if I'm not the first person to have said that, because I think it is quite a theme of the photographer that we shy away from cameras.
Yep.
But, and I mean, I didn't even take a selfie on my phone until about 3 years ago, and then I only did it as part of a project.
Did you pout? So,
no, I didn't pout. I really didn't.
Did you put two fingers up and do some, not to, you know, I don't mean in a rude sign, but that sort of strange thing you do with your chin?
No, I didn't do any of that. I've never done any of that.
I'm disappointed.
Really I so, love yes, doing that stuff.
It's certainly not a vanity thing. It's partly access, that I'm always available. And it's partly that, I guess, some what I want to tell is some, you know, some of the stories of my experience. And I feel best placed to do that. But I do also like to photograph other people. I do find other
people. You have Martha. I mean, you have other pictures of other portraits.
Your mum?
You have one here. Yeah. Is that your mum?
No,
your mum's somewhere, isn't it? I thought it was a U2 sitting on a chair.
Right at the bottom. No, that's me and my daughter sitting on the chairs outside.
Oh, very similar. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yes, I got confused because it said mother and daughter.
Yeah.
I like the. I think it's a portrait of you, Kath. I don't know if it's you or someone else, but all the way at the very beginning of your feed, there's a portrait of a face, but the face is completely white.
Yeah, that's actually. That's one of the few digital images on that feed. I think it might be the only one, actually.
Really? That's a great picture.
So it's an old photo of my mum, and then I just kind of kept photographing it. I photographed it on a window, kept out, you know, it was out of photo. I just kept photographing it until it became more and more abstract. But it feels like it fits with the other work, even though it's a digital image.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it looks great.
When did you start sharing things onto Instagram, Kath?
Fairly recently. I'm a bit of a social media phobe, really. I don't like sharing things like that. I feel uncomfortable with it. I feel uncomfortable with oversharing that seems to be very prevalent. It's not something that sits well with me. I'm a very private person, and this is quite a big deal for me to be talking even to you guys about my work, really. So,
welcome.
Oh, thank you. So it's been a fairly recent thing. But, of course, Instagram is just really, well, the way that we're using it is a really positive and connective thing. It's great. I love Instagram. Use the way we use it.
Right.
So I'm not sure how old my oldest image is on there, about a year and a half, maybe?
I'll tell you. Hang on. Let's see.
And before that, were you're making images, were you... Yeah. Did you do anything with them? Did you share them with friends? Did you just...
No,
Was it purely sort of cathartic?
Yeah, I think so. I think I feel that I sort of had a big chunk of time where I wasn't really making work. Or I was, but I didn't regard it in that way. Mm. And it's only really the last 3 years, maybe, that I've started to see it as my work and see... It's really nice to hear you say that it has a theme, that you see it as a whole thing, because it's impossible to do that yourself. I think it takes someone else to see that sometimes, that it's
sure
that there are all of these connections. So
once you find what you like as far as a paper stock, I mean, for me anyways, a paper stock or a film, you know, I mean, I kind of tend to just stick with that, and then mine is just naturally evolved just because once I find something I like, I stick with it. I don't do much, you know, buying a bunch, shooting different films and trying different things. I kind of, once I get a look that I like, then I just stick with it until something, you know, something changes, you know, out of my control.
Well, it's just so overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, totally. Yeah, completely.
To try, and you'll look on someone's feed and you'll see something, oh, that's cool, I love that. You could go on like that forever, but it's about the process is sort of the most straightforward bit of it, really. It's just a means to an end for me. So what can I use to get what I want, to say what I want to say?
Are you you do use film, you don't use paper, do you?
No, this is 5:4, and I had a conversation because that's interesting, because as a hashtag, I think 4x5 comes up with a lot more posts than 5x4.
Oh, right.
But I say 5x4.
That's all right.
So I'm using Ilford Ortho film.
Andrew, you use that a little bit, don't you? Did you use Ortho film or not?
No, I have. I have some, at least I think I have some, something similar anyway, that Andrew Sanderson sent me.
Oh, yeah.
But he's frightened me by telling me that it's 10 stops lower than 50 ASA. I can't believe that, because that's like ISO nothing. Yeah. I need to speak to him. But the ortho, that's not sensitive to red, so you can develop that under a red safe light, can't you? Is that right?
Yeah, that's why I use it. It was the journey to using it, really, was I had done a wet plate course and loved it, but it's quite a big investment in terms of sort of, well, financially it's a big investment, and also the gear and just the process of it.
The wet plate?
And I had,
sure.
It's quite an undertaking, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
But I love the look of it. But then I'd read an article about Sally Mann, and she had, before she embarked on using wet plate, she had shot some landscapes with orthofilm to get a similar look. So,
because Ilford make that, don't they? That's still in production.
Yeah. I bought the first two boxes I bought were expired. I bought them from eBay expired.
Yeah.
But now I buy it brand new now, and I can dish process it under safe light. So it's partly an ease thing, but actually the effect that reds have in the images,
I liked it. I like how it's your images look great. I mean, have you done any So are you contact printing these? That's it, right? Yeah.
On just various expired papers again that I pick up. I mean, I love warm tone paper, but I'm sort of thinking cost wise. I've got loads of expired paper that I need to get through first. So, so I'm contact printing them, and I'm printing them whole frame, even when there's little things in that annoy me.
Yeah.
I keep them in.
Sure.
So there's the one image of me lying down, where in the background you can see something white at the top. It annoys me, but I'm going to keep it in.
It looks like a table or a garden set or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like it, though, because there's so much medium tones, grays, and then that table is just a little bit wider. So with how your yard turns around that bush there, your eye goes to that, but then it kind of stops and you come back down because it's so bright you look away from me, you know?
My mind has gone a bit blank when it comes to this. So if the film is not seeing red, then in the final positive image, the red will come out very
dark. So if you look at I'm wearing a red cord jacket, and a lot of the earlier ones, or a lot of the ones. And the heart, that piece of graffiti, that heart.
Oh yeah, yeah.
On the beach, that's a red heart.
Yeah.
So my jacket is red and the heart is red, but they've come out really dark.
And
you've got a face full of freckles, you end up in that, you get that sort of wet platey look if you've got a freckly face as well, or red blemishes on your faces. It can be not a very flattering if you want to make someone, you know, if you've got skin blemishes, they show up, do they?
It affects your grains too, because your green color have red in it, you know, so it'll shift your greens too in black and white.
Okay.
So the foliage and the grass
They'll seem darker and lighter depending on.
Well, if it's very sunny, then shadows often contain a great deal of blue light, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is very sensitive to blue and green light, isn't it, orthofilm?
I might have to give the orthofilm a try. I've never tried it before.
Yeah, me too. I'm just thinking that.
I'm excited about being able to develop it under a safe light.
I'm doing that with that X. You know? But I've got to work my way through that big box of X-ray film. Have you used that, Kath? Because I might just send you some. Would you like me to send you some? Would you like
Please.
Some?
No, okay. Really. Yeah.
No, I have some. I meant to buy 8x10 X-ray film, but I've ended up with 10x12, which is a real pain because I have to cut it down to fit in my 8x10 film holder.
What does it come out like then? How does it?
Well, I've exposed four sheets so far, with the intention of contact printing them onto watercolor paper with salt prints. And my first attempts, I've got some nice looking negatives, and I think they're going to contact print really nicely just on normal multi-grade paper. but they're very low in, well, at the moment I'm getting a very low contrast effect on the salted paper. Now that's partly, I think, because the negatives need a bit more oomph, but also because I'm using a UV light source instead of the sunlight, because we don't have sunlight, as you know. And when you use the UV light, that's a slightly lower contrast source. So I'm out tomorrow, and I've got some two more sheets of X-ray film loaded up, and I'm hoping I'm going to get a bit more sun. I'm going to give it a bit more exposure, and then I'm going to give it a bit more agitation. So, but when I send you this X-ray film, I'll print out the instructions I was given, and it's a good starting point, you know, for you.
What do you rate your ortho film at, Kath? Whenever you shoot,
So it's one. It's different indoors and outdoors.
Sure.
Now then, I think it's 25 outside. So it's quite low, but it's not zero like you were told, Andrew. And then it might be 50 outdoors and 25 indoors.
Gotcha.
I ought to know. My light meter is just set.
I think the stuff that Andrew sent me is actually X-ray film. It's got, thinking about it now, it says he sent me a box of. Is handwritten on the front, and it says Kodak X-ray film, and then it says 10 stops below 50. Well, that's just crazy.
Negative 9,000.
Yeah. So I think I need to, I might just get in touch with him. Andrew, if you're listening, just explain this to me, because I'm so worried about using it. But maybe I'll just move on to ortho film.
Just go shoot it and try it. I mean, you're not going to destroy it. I mean, it's just,
no,
it's
we'll
just
do.
Film.
I'll be time, scared, isn't it? Andrew. God, time, isn't it? I'll send it to you, Kath.
What do you develop it in, the X-ray film? Well,
the X-ray film. I'm using Rodinal. Yeah. And the stuff I've got is the emulsions on both sides, so you it can be quite easy to scratch it.
It is
so
very easy to scratch.
I have three trays, and in the base of each tray I've got a sheet of glass or Perspex, and then the instructions I had from James Gurin, who makes the Reality So Subtle cameras, which I think is the same instructions as he gave to Corey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You make up Rodinal at 1 to 100. He's now suggesting 1 to 50 for me to boost contrast. So 1 to 100. And then under a red safe light, you take your sheet of film and you just slide it into the developer and you just leave it there for a minute. And then after a minute, you lift it out and turn it over. And leave it for another minute, and you do that for 6 minutes, and yeah, it produces some nice negatives. The film has a blue base on it, so no matter what you do, you can't get rid of that. I've just tried it with my alternative processes, but I've not made a. I think I'm gonna next weekend. I'm gonna just do some straight contact prints and see.
That's what I did with mine, and they came out great. I think
these will. So I think that recipe is perfect for just normal contact printing, right. But for my salt printing, I need to up my game a bit.
Salt, get a little saltier.
I'll send you a dozen sheets in the post, Kath. We'll exchange details afterwards, and I'll give you some information. You can cut that down. You don't need to. You know, you can cut it down and stick it in your whatever pinhole camera you're using. Yeah,
and
yeah.
you can develop it under a red light too, under the safe light also. So it's. Yeah. It's orthochromatic, I guess. What is it?
Yeah, yes, I should send you some sheets of ortho. Have you got a 5.4 camera you can put them in?
Or? I might have one or two.
Yeah, but...
silly question, right?
Look, you've choked him up, Kath.
Oh, sorry.
You got him thinking about cameras again. Here we go.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll do a film swap. That would be really cool.
Great.
I'm just going back to a comment you made earlier that putting your work up here is really a big deal, and you know, you're, because I think what you're doing, forgive me if I'm over reading this, but you're bearing a bit of yourself, aren't you, to the world? And you know, and I'm kind of interested in why people post things, you know, because, and I think your comment that you stayed away from social media for so long, but you were still using this medium to explore images of yourself and your feelings and what you were going through. You know, we don't want to probe you over that. But then at some point you decided to share it. And, I mean, most people kind of just fall into social media without too much thought. But this was very deliberate for you, wasn't it?
Well, I think
I was asking Kath, Corey.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Kath.
Okay. Yeah, I think Instagram is quite good in that way, in that the hashtags are there and people can explore them and ask me questions or ask themselves questions about it if they want to. But I hope that images can also stand alone. And as you say, because I'm not posting everything, I'm not posting, you know, my dog on there and, you know, where I've been and that kind of thing. And even I'm being very selective about the images that I make, the ones that I then post. So I'm sort of editing at that point as well. That I guess that I feel it's a safe way to explore those things and to share those things without there being too much of it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Instagram's great for that.
Yeah.
And of course, whether you choose or not to use hashtags is kind of an interesting area to explore as well. And you know, I just clicked on the one I was talking to you about earlier, Kath, is one of a couple of images of you, although you wouldn't know it's you. It's some black mound on a bed with fairy lights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just such a gorgeous image. And then you think, well, you know, do I want to look at hashtags to think about that? Because I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm thinking, without looking at hashtags, I'm thinking, well, there's clearly someone under there. And why have they covered themselves in black? You know, is it, you know, what are they trying to say? And I could think of all sorts of things. But then you kind of give us a steer, I guess. You know, you've got a few, you're hidden, you know, invisible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wedge-shaped core of darkness. Wow. You know, Virginia Woolf. Now, I'm not literate enough to understand what the Virginia Woolf reference is, but clearly this is done with some thought.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I think the thing I love most about portraiture is that it's never just about that person. The image is never just about that person, even if it's a celebrity. It's always about the person who took the image. It's about the person looking at that image and how the things that they're projecting onto that person, onto that situation. And actually, that's why I think being a bit vague, not being really explicit about what something is about is sort of more interesting, because then it becomes a bit more of a collaborative process, maybe, portraiture, that it becomes about lots of things. And of course, I'm exploring personal ideas, but I'm sort of exploring them in an everyman kind of way, I guess. And the Virginia Woolf, it's a quote. The wedge-shaped core of darkness is a quote from Virginia Woolf.
Is it?
yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'm such a numpty, I didn't know that. Sorry.
Oh, why would you? You can't know everything.
I can.
You
know, I can.
Oh, yes, he does know everything, actually, Kath. You better watch out.
What, even about cell printing? I'm getting the feeling that there might be some thread there that I'm not aware of. But
salt printing. No, I get the mickey taken out of me because I never mention salt printing, and yet every podcast someone says it. Or, yeah.
Andrew knows everything. Trust me. Speaking.
Yeah, so the that image in particular was a really long exposure, and I will say, should I say what we said before we went on there? That I even had a little nap while I made it. That's how long.
Why
it
not?
Was.
I got.
It was warm. I was in a little. Yeah, I was all wrapped up, and I felt, I know, all cozy.
I got lazier than that the other night. I tried to get a picture of the lunar eclipse that was happening, and it just happened to be a clear sky, and I went out on my back porch about 8:30 and opened the shutter and came back at 5:30 in the morning and brought my camera back inside. I was like, you know, hey, I mean, just.
So you didn't just have a nap. You had a whole night's sleep.
I had a whole night's sleep, yeah.
You beat me there.
I got a really funky results too, man. I'm gonna post a picture later that I got from that. So it was, I don't know, 10 hours, but it's kind of weird.
Was it a pinhole image?
It was a pinhole image, yeah. So it was just 6x6 though, so. It still worked, you know, but it was kind of weird. I don't know how it happened. But
did you have to hold the pinhole camera up close to the moon so you could get it all, you know?
I did. I climbed a pine tree in my backyard, and I just pushed and I reached as far as I could, and I said, stay still, moon, you know.
Did you not lasso it and pull it down?
My son Henry thinks it's cheese, so.
It is, isn't it?
That's what I told him, and he goes, I knew it. So, what are you making your own cameras, Kath, for these?
No, so
4x5s,
I wanted a 5x4 camera. I still want a 5x4 camera, but I went to, don't know if you know Philips Cameras in Norwich. Do you know, Andrew?
No.
Have you heard of Philips cameras? So
no.
It's a treasure trove. Maybe is stay it? Away.
Maybe don't tell me that. Why haven't I heard of Philips cameras? Is it full of old analog stuff?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and the guy who runs it is great. I went in there to talk to him about getting me a 5.4 camera, and he said, oh, I've got this pinhole thing here he just wanted to get rid of it, basically. He wanted to get rid of it, and somebody has homemade it. I didn't homemade it, somebody did. And I had a couple, I think I bought it for less than the cost of the two dark slides that came with it. So I just wanted to get going with it. I wanted to start making 5.4 images. I wanted to use the ortho film, right. And I didn't want to put all of these barriers in the way that I couldn't afford a camera. I couldn't get a camera. I just wanted to get going with it. And then once I got going, I fell in love with the pinhole process again. And particularly, the length of the exposures, what that meant for portraiture was something that I had never explored before. And I love it. I love the long exposures.
Is that a wooden camera that someone had made, Kath?
It is. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's a little wooden camera, and my little crib sheet on the side with what I should do with my exposures, and it's got a little tripod mount and everything. It's a beautiful thing.
Rad, that's awesome.
I have to send you a snap of it.
Yeah, so we can put it up on the show. So
yeah, you don't want to put it in your feed because change the nature of your feed.
Send it to me and I'll put it up, or Andrew, and we'll put it up on the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't claim that I didn't make it, but yeah, somebody made it.
Somebody made it. Somebody made it with love, and now you're continue to use it and make it happy.
Do you have an inkling to move towards 4x5 lens based photography, Kath? Or
that was the plan initially, yeah. Having done the wet plate course. The plan was to sort of, you know, I'd like to try positive paper in it. I'd like to try, but I'm quite happy with the work as it is at the moment. It feels that it's taken me down a completely different route than I think I would have gone down had I bought a camera with a lens.
Well, to be honest, trust me on this one. If you have too many cameras and different formats and different choices, it just leads to a dilution of your dilution of your artistic vision. Mojo.
Good word, mojo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting idea, actually. The gear acquisition syndrome that you just end up buying. Yeah.
Well, you know, when people go on holidays or vacations, you know, and they put it pictures in there. Well, like when, Mike on the Negative Positive podcast, he went on vacation. He said, I'm bringing 14 cameras with me. You know what I mean? Like, and he only needed to, you know, finish a 4 or 5 off of each one. But I was just thinking to myself, I was like, wow, you know, like, I would be so lost, and I would just be spinning around trying to figure out which one I wanted to shoot at the spot. I'd do so much better with just bringing one and just shooting that the whole time. You know what I mean? And
the limitations of that, the fact that if you limit yourself to the equipment that you use, that it forces you to get around things a different way, maybe?
Yeah, sure. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. But I agree with you on that. I'm definitely a one camera, you know, kind of person. And I it feels weird now because I've thrown the 4x5 stuff into with the 6x6, and I'm kind of looking at both of them and going back and forth. And I think I'm going to put one down for just a little while, maybe the 6x6, and just kind of concentrate on shooting with the 4x5 for a bit and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
See, I take my, I have a 4.5 Toyo field camera, Kath, and I love using it, but more often I like using it. I've got a panoramic back for it, 6x17, and I love using that. But it's just yet another choice, you know. And part of me thinks, actually, why don't I just get rid of all this stuff? But I don't want to get rid of the stuff now that I've acquired over the years, because I'll probably never be able to afford to buy it all again, you know.
But if you're not using it and it's just sitting there, I mean, I don't know.
This is the current theory, isn't it? That we should get rid of things that don't bring us joy. But I mean,
you're watching that Japanese woman, aren't you?
No, I'm
Netflix.
Not. I'm just reading about everybody else watching it just continuing to hoard things.
My wife is obsessed with that little Japanese woman on Netflix. And if it doesn't, if you have a belonging and it doesn't bring you joy, out it goes. So I just look at all my cameras and I thought, well, yeah, that one brings me joy and that one brings me joy.
Absolutely. I have to keep
them all. That's solved.
I'm that way, you know. I mean, like, if I have stuff and I use it for a little while, then I fall out of love with it and I don't touch it for a year or so, then I kind of, you know, make room. And I don't even have that many pinhole cameras, actually. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of pinhole cameras. Andrew, how many pinhole cameras do you have? 12?
No. Half a dozen, maybe. But that's still too many. I have three 6x6s, so that Zero, that Todd's camera. Todd Schlemmer, who came to the Norwich meetup, I was telling you yesterday, Kath, when we spoke. And then I have James Gurin, who has also been on the show. If you look back, James makes reality so subtle. So I have three 6x6s. I have James's 6x12, so that's, what's that, 4. I have Cesare Barczak's 6x9, that's 5. And then I have the 8x10 that James sent me in the post, that's 6. And then I do have a pinhole for one of my 4x5 field cameras.
That's 7. And then you have
Then I've got the Graham homemade camera of 35mm that he gave me.
That's 8.
And then the Walker 4x5.
That's 9.
And then the Zero Image 4x5 that I was given. Yes, but I was given that, you see. At the pinhole. I've got 10. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot.
Choices are overwhelming to me when I get into that area.
But I've rationalised it a bit by just, like, my Terrapin camera is my color camera, so that's just loaded with Ektar.
Yeah, sure.
So that takes a choice out. And
about the other 8, then.
That's right, Kath. Get him.
No, stop getting at me.
Sorry.
You're not my wife. So... I love stop talking about it. These pictures, you had a bit of an obsession with sheets. So yes. You've got one of that sort of. What's that woman in the Charles Dickens who grew old as a bride? There's one that reminds me of that, Mrs. Havisham. Yeah.
I remind you of Miss Havisham.
Well, no. I don't know who that is. You with a shroud over it, a bit like Casper the Ghost. And then there's some with you just face planting into sheets and things. Mm. What's going on there?
Well, that's another virginal thing. So another theme comes from the idea of killing the angel in the house. So...
The idea of what?
Killing the angel in the house. Okay. So
I think I need to read some Virginia Woolf.
There was a poem, I think, a Victorian poem. It was all a very Victorian idea written by some man whose name escapes me now, called The Angel in the House. And the idea was that, you know, the perfect woman that kept quiet, put everyone before herself, you know, tended to the house, tended to the family, etc. And Virginia Woolf took that theme and explored it through the idea of killing the angel in the house, in the belief that for a woman to be creative, and in her case to be a writer, she had to kill this
ideal, this sort of male created vision of what a perfect woman is.
Absolutely. And the only way she could do that, anyway, she could be creative, make the work that she wanted to make, was by, killing that spectre, that ghost of an idea. So I'm exploring that, and I'm exploring it with washing,
which is woman's work, of course. If you follow that, so you're taking that, taking those sheets and incorporating them into your art and saying all sorts of things. That's great.
And I'm making a lot of the work that I'm making just. I think there's this idea that about taking photographs, and I'm trying to make photographs. I'm trying to use what I have at my disposal. So I'm trying to. I'm not going out with my camera and exploring the world. I'm exploring my little bit of it, and that's my garden and my home and my family and the people I care about and the themes that emerge from that, really. And I guess you know, I love Sally Mann's work, something that she's always done. And even Sir Julie Margaret Cameron, you know, using her, in her case, her maids and servants and the things that she had at her disposal, but family and friends and her garden. And I think we can find that inspiration really close by. And I think I probably spent a long time looking for it when it was there the whole time.
So. Yeah. I keep telling Corey this because he says, man, there's nothing to photograph around here.
Mm.
But you need to stop and just do some self-portraits. Embark on a series of self-portraits.
But when I say that, what I really mean is I've never been much of a snapshot photographer with a camera, with a lens, you know, with like a 24-105 or 35-70, and just go walking around and just take random pictures of stuff that you see that, you know, that you think looks cool. I'm kind of like Kath. I've always kind of been like, I have an idea of something that I want to do, and to me, that's doing it. That's why I kind of never really got into doing the 35 millimeter and taking pictures of my kids with that, you know, and doing that whole side. It doesn't interest me. I'm more into trying to come up with an idea for a reason and having an idea to do and then shoot it, as opposed to just kind of taking pictures of sunsets, you know, like general photography, I guess, you know.
Do you do general photography? I mean, so Kath, I know you're choosing to share this body of work, but are you, you know, do you record those everyday memories as well, you know, when you, if you go on holiday or whatever, or go to your relatives?
Not as much as I did, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a digital practice as well that, you know, sort of commercially that I work in. But I don't tend to take my camera. If I'm going to take my camera, I went for a walk with my sister the other day and I said, I'm going to bring my pinhole camera. I want to take a picture of us. So it's become more that than using my phone and that kind of thing. I suppose it's just what I've come to through the pinhole is realising that the portraits are a lot about the actual process of taking the picture. So we were talking about that one of me lying on the grass earlier. There's a specific Sally Mann image that I'm referencing there called Dirty Jessie, which is her daughter lying on the grass. I don't know if you know it.
I was trying to think what it reminded me of, and you just told me. I've just read it now as well. Yeah, Dirty Jessie.
It's one of... mm-hmm. But the image had been in my mind, and I don't know why. Things roll around, don't they? You know, song lyrics and
bounce about.
Yeah, exactly. So it was bounding around in my head. And that day, the grass was wet, and I just felt like I wanted to lie in the wet grass for 10 minutes. So I did. So it's become about the process of, I don't know, allowing myself to do these things because I'm doing them in the name of pinhole photography, but actually I kind of enjoy the process of taking them too. But what's really funny about that is one of the hashtags I used, I think I put hashtag broken, and I got liked by some church of broken women in America somewhere.
Did they reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, bless them. Which brought a little smile to my face.
Yeah, they probably had. They were probably doing it with the best will in the world, but yeah, missed it completely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've got Sally Mann's book sitting on my shelf. It's huge. That The Crossing, is it? The new one? Have you seen that one? It's just like this amalgamation of photographs from some years, and it's about 1.5 inches thick, maybe 2 inches thick.
Oh, I've got book envy now.
Yeah, have a look at it. It wasn't that expensive. It wasn't that expensive. And all I've managed to do is flick through. It's a book I'm going to have to read when I stop work, I think, because...
Have you read her autobiography?
No, I haven't. No, this is the only... But there's... whether some of this book is also... I think some of this book is also autobiographical, because there's lots of words in there as well as lots of images. But it's, look it up. But you recommend her autobiography?
It's great. It's really interesting. Yeah, she's had a really interesting life.
I remember going to see an exhibition of her work at the Photographers Gallery in London some years ago. And this was right at the end of the period when she was doing all the wet plate stuff with her kids as they were growing up, you know. I suppose she's still doing it, but they're older now, aren't they? But when they were younger, you know, and there were some video installations showing her wet plate work in a dark room coating the plates and things. Yeah, that was great.
Mm.
Cool.
So you have a day job, Kath?
Yeah, well, I have a commercial digital practice. I do some weddings and I look after the family. And
which is a day job in itself.
Absolutely. It is.
Walk my dog. Yeah. All
what,
that.
What dog have you got?
I have a Whippet.
Do you?
He's crazy.
A what?
A Whippet. It's like a greyhound. It's a thin, it's like, if you live in the north, Curry, everyone who lives in the north has a Whippet and wears a flat cap.
Absolutely. But apparently the Whippets were, the miners used to put the Whippets to bed with the children to keep the children warm at night.
Absolutely.
And I can confirm that they have that. I do the same with mine. He's a good hot water bottle.
What's a flat hat? Like there's driving caps.
Like a flat cap, is what people in the north wear, Corey. God, I'm going to get so much hate mail now, aren't I?
I understand that, but I think I have one actually.
Hipsters wear them now, so you'll fit right
they
in.
Do, yeah. With
beards, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have one of those. From when
get yourself some skinny jeans, a flat cap, and a beard. Yeah.
No. I have a proper one actually because my mom and my sister took a trip. And they brought me one back. They went to the UK and they brought me one back.
Well, you should put it on your head and send it to me. I promise I won't use that image in any way to embarrass you.
I know you won't.
So have you ever thought of using film in your practice? Because you do hear about people now using film and actually
for the weddings
charging a bit more for it.
Some people don't like it. I mean, when I was doing a little bit of weddings, I would bring film up and they're like, oh no, we want to see this, you know, like tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I can understand they were not into it. Yeah,
sorry Kath, I didn't mean to jump ahead of you.
Well, I think shooting a wedding is terrifying enough without not being able to instantly see what you've
done. Yeah, right.
Although I despise the editing. I despise sitting at my Mac and having to do all of that. I can't bear it, but it's just part of it, I guess. Yeah. It's just so yeah, if I could print it in the darkroom, I'd be much happier. But no, I need to be in control of that situation. I need to know that those images have come out okay. So,
I don't know if it would be film for me. I don't know if it would be less stressful to have to print all that in the darkroom or as opposed to doing it on the computer or not, honestly. Especially if it was color.
You have a dark room at home, Kath?
I have a shed, yeah. I have a little dark room shed. And it's cool. Yeah, and I mean little. It's really small. It's a 4 by 6 foot, but it's just big enough for me and a sink. Yeah. Large enough.
Yeah, my dark room's not much bigger than that. In the garage, I've just got the corner. I built like a partition in the corner of the garage, you know.
So
it's not, just probably not a bit warmer than mine then. Mine's cold.
I was just about to say, mine's cold too. So how cold are you going outside and printing in when you're doing it, Kath?
Well, I get my little heater going for 5 minutes before I go in there. And with it being so small, it warms up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But it's cold. Yeah, it's not much warmer than being outside, really.
I keep one of those little greenhouse heaters on in the winter times because I'm conscious that all my lenses for the two enlargers are in there. You know, I've even got some negatives stored in there, which isn't ideal, really. And I've got a little dehumidifier thing that plugs into the wall. I bought it off Amazon, but you know what? It takes about half a litre of water out every few days. It's amazing. So I reckon that must be doing some good. So I've got a little greenhouse heater and a little dehumidifier. Mm. But I have one of those Nova slot washers. I don't know if you know those, Kath. It's a Nova quad. So that's got heaters in it. So when I want to go printing like this afternoon, I switch it on and half an hour later, it's all ready to go. The chemicals are in there. So it's easy, but... Yeah, Julie keeps saying to me, maybe you should have a shed, then we can have our garage back.
I think you'd be warmer. You're warmer in your garage.
No, it's not too bad. There's some other images, just as we draw towards the close, Kath, there's some images that you label up as alternative. They're certainly not self-portraits. I have no idea what they are. You're using Ilford Cool Tone, cameraless photography that looks like sort of grains of a tree, but I don't know what they are, or water. Goodness knows what it is. Water could be.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's water. So is it? They're going back to that idea of when you're stuck, just make something.
Yes.
I haven't really sort of explored those that much further, because those are my play thing that I do when I'm stuck. So I'll just go into the dark room with some paper and a torch or my flashlight. I use my flashlight for those ones. And yeah, just those ones. I just laid the paper in the water, in the tray, turned the tap on, poured the watering can. I think I poured a watering can on those, and then I'm just flashing with the flashlight to kind of capture the shape of the water. So it's partly a photogram, but there's not really anything there. There's nothing solid there.
No.
So it's also a luminogram. So it's somewhere between the two. So I'm just drawing with light, really, I suppose.
Which ones are these now? Oh, the swirly cloud-looking ones? Yeah. Wow, those are cool.
Thank you. That's what I do.
One of our guests... When was Marco on, Marco Amisovic?
3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, so Marco Amisovic is just had his work on the Pinhole Society site, and he's on Instagram. And if you don't follow Marco, check him out, Kath.
Yeah,
he's now embarking on a series of images that are not dissimilar to these. He's at the moment concentrating on paper left in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
With soil on it and interacting with the landscape, and they're just all kinds of
colors.
Well, blue ones.
Colors.
The blue ones.
They're primarily blue. Are you familiar?
Yeah, in avoidance of reality.
We
follow each other. Yeah.
Yeah. He's on the show a few weeks ago, so listen to that. He was good value. Yeah, as have you been?
Thank you. I've enjoyed myself.
Curry is
fine. He's a pussycat.
I'm pretty menacing now that I have my hair cut, though. It's totally different.
That's why you need that flat cap.
Yeah, it fits. And you know what? It's funny because I haven't been wearing that hat because my hair has been so long. I couldn't even put it on my head. And I put it on yesterday after I got my hair cut. And I was like, oh, this fits my head now. I can actually wear it.
I don't really...
Winter for about 20 years where I've had short hair and I'm really feeling it. It's very very different experience.
Right.
Cold ears.
I don't really do hats because I've got such a big head. I don't need to say anything. I need to get really like extra large ones or something, you know, and you can't
buy. I was going to say I feel your pain, Andrew, because I have a big head too, and I've never been able to wear hats. If I buy a hat or somebody
mine sits on my head like a pimple.
Yeah, mine does too. You know, like the adjustable ball caps that have the back strap with the plastic one, you can, you know, adjust it. I have to open that thing up all the way up to one, and it's like stretching for life, you know.
It must be something about the pinhole photographer. It must be a
big head.
Yes, it's to give our huge brain space to breathe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How did you come up with these photograms that you're doing, Kathy? Just was it kind of like an accidental thing and you saw it, or were you kind of like, I'm going to try this?
Yeah, just playing, really, thinking what would happen if. And the ones with the very sharp line that sort of almost looked like a paper aeroplane. That's just a sheet of glass standing up, and I'm directing the light sort of along the glass.
Wow. I thought it was a building. I thought it was the Shard.
Yeah, I did too. That's what I thought they were. I thought that those were...
Goodness me.
Which was
play. It's all what would this look like? And so of that's course, a, go on, sorry.
That's a piece of glass?
Standing on its side.
Wow, that's cool, man.
And then so I've got the torch or the flashlight, I can't remember what it was, at one end.
It looks kind of abstract architecture or something, you know, that you'd see with a...
There were a lot of failures. I've got drawers and drawers and drawers full of failures. But when you've got a bunch of expired paper and time on your hands, that's the kind of thing that keeps you sane doing things like that. Or me, anyway.
Right after those pictures, there's a really good picture. I like this Martha and Poppy 30 seconds. And there's people walking on the beach and you can kind of see their shadows.
Ghosty people, yeah.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
I first cool. started doing the portraits, yeah. I was really... I was set on this idea that it was some kind of endurance thing, and who can, you know, we can get people to sit still for a really long time. And my friend Jess, who there's a couple of pictures of there, she was the queen of standing still. She was amazing at it. And then when I started photographing myself, I realized I was terrible at it. I was terrible at keeping still. And I guess that was one of the accidents that led me to thinking, well, what would happen if I'm not in the whole frame? What would happen if I was there for, say, half of it, and then I moved out of the frame? Or, which is what I then am exploring more now with the long exposures.
That is a great picture. You see, the thing with Instagram, you need to click on it, particularly with these 4 or 5 images, click on it so you can see it. I've got it on my big screen in front of me, and that is a great image. I love it. And that's a beach in Winterton, Corey, that's typical of the coastline that Kath was talking about earlier.
That's exactly what my beach looks like, you know. And behind it, you just have kind of the sand dune sea oats, you know, we call them, just the
we get quite a lot of sand dunes. Marum grass, it is.
Marum grass.
Well, they got kind of, the Winterton ones got destroyed a couple of winters ago, didn't they? They were just all kind of annihilated by the storm. Yeah, it's really different there now. It's really
awesome. Cool. Well,
so I've got to send you some X-ray film. We're going to do a film swap. We'll exchange. Yeah. We'll exchange details after we come off air. But Kath, we sometimes use this as an opportunity. Have you got anyone who you'd like to give a shout out to? Someone whose work is inspirational to you? Who you? I didn't say we were going to do this, so I'm putting you on the spot a bit, really.
So someone working now, or somebody working in Pinhole? Or...
It doesn't matter anything. It
doesn't really matter. Someone whose work you really like, who you'd like to draw our attention to.
I've talked a lot about Sally Mann. She's a reference point for me for a lot of things, really. But I've been looking more at really early photography recently. So Julia Margaret Cameron, and, you know, crazy kind of spirit photography, and... I'm interested. Another thing I love about Pinhole is that suddenly all this stuff that we can't see turns up in the image, because it was 5 minutes long, and stuff that the naked eye doesn't see. So I'm getting really interested in really early photography, where they were beginning to explore things that they'd never seen before. No one had ever seen before, because no one had ever photographed it before. So I'm influenced by tons of things all the time. I'm always looking at things and reading things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly going to pick up some Virginia Woolf now. That's a sure thing.
Yeah. And I know how bad, I know we talk about Instagram being a positive, kind of a negative thing and a positive thing, but I, even when I'm kind of stuck and not really doing much photography or anything, I'll still look through Instagram, because I'll just go to the Pinhole hashtag and just, you know, start looking at stuff. And because I enjoy looking at other people's work and what they're doing just as much as I enjoy creating stuff, because there's so many people like yourself, Kath. I'm not going to give Andrew any props for what he's doing, but, you know, there's so many other people that do really good stuff. And I enjoy that side of it also. It's not always just me, you know. I enjoy.
Well, I've said it many times since Corey graciously asked me to co-host the podcast with him sometime last year. And after, you know, an initial bit of intrepidation, I think what I've enjoyed most about it is just the people we speak to week after week. And I've said it before, how inspired I become. It's a bit scary, because each week I'm inspired with something different. So I've got so many things that have inspired me now, and not enough time. Not at the moment, anyway. Not until I
next year.
Next year I'll have a bit more time. Yeah,
you're retiring next year.
Yeah. That's right, Corey. Retiring.
Has Julie approved your first tattoo for your time off? Good. Are you going to get your nose pierced, Andrew? Is that the deal?
No, I'm not brave enough to have holes made in my body.
Oh no, right.
Cool. You've got a thing about tattoos. You keep going on about.
It's just always, you know, like the stereotypical, you know, like,
like a midlife crisis. Yeah.
And he's getting a nose pierce. And you're getting if you get a tattoo, get one right across your neck or around your throat area. That'd be great.
No, I watched Silent Witness last week, and there was someone who died of blood poisoning when they had tattoos.
Yikes.
Sepsis.
Holy mackerel.
So,
and you'd have to choose which one of your 10 pinhole cameras to have a tattoo of anyway.
That's right.
How would you choose?
You could just do a timeline of them across the back of your shoulder.
I haven't got 10. I deny having 10 pinhole cameras.
So then here's what we'll say to the listeners on the Facebook page. When we put up a post of Kath's pinhole picture that she's going to send to us of her camera, we want to know how many pinhole cameras everyone else has. So in the comments, see if you can beat Andrew. He has 10.
Mm. See if I bet someone can. I bet someone can beat that.
Oh, I do have the I've only got the one homemade can, the anamorphic truffle cam, which I'm still
the bonbons.
I'm still experimenting with my little anamorphic pinhole camera.
So we're at 11 then.
Yes, but that's a homemade one.
So now we're at 11. There's still are we counting those or not?
I don't know.
And whoever has the most
I've had two of them on permanent loan. My 4x5 Zero camera, which I was gifted at the Norwich meetup, Kath, last April. Somebody gave me the, in fact, it was Alex Yates, the aforementioned Alex Yates, gave me the 4x5 Zero, because at these pinhole meetups, it's in Boston next year, not in Lincolnshire, Kath, don't get too excited.
Not quite so close.
It's in Boston in the USA, so this is transatlantic meetup of pinhole photographers.
I'm going to be there reporting live.
He is. He's going to do a live outside broadcast from the lenses. And Todd Slemmer, who makes the Terrapin cameras, he started something called Pachyderm. And it's basically everyone who goes along, if they want to take part, they take a pinhole-related gift. It could be a book, could be a camera. And you throw your camera into a pile and people draw a number and you win one of these donations. So you end up with someone else's, you know, prize or camera or something. And so Alex won this Zero Image 4x5 and he didn't want it. So he gave it to me. But that's been on loan. A friend of mine has got it and he's had it for a while now. And my other Zero Image, Neil Piper, had it twice for best part of 6 months.
So you're at 12 cameras then, actually.
No, we counted that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still at 11 then.
So you should
still at 11. Thanks, Kath.
And
I've got a tally going here. Yeah.
You want to let her really come on,
I'm quiet. Well,
come on, won't last for long. Kath, if you want to let everybody know where they can find you, your website, or if you're just on Instagram, Twitter,
I'm just
let
on
everybody
Instagram.
Know.
So it's Kath Cartman, Kath with a C, C-A-T-H, Cartman. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Andrew? All one word, because if you Google Kath space Cartman on Instagram, you get other people.
Yeah.
Oh.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's more of me?
Yep.
There are more of you.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And if people don't know already, I'm Warboys Snapper in most places. Warboys Snapper _ pinholes for one of my Instagram sites. Yeah. And yeah. Corey is Pinhole Cannon in most places.
That's me, with one N.
With one N.
No,
as opposed
only
to your,
one place.
But your surname in real life has two N's, is that right?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Yep. And folks, if you want to send us a voice clip, we haven't had one of those for a while, you can do that either via the Anchor app, or I think if you send a recording of a file on your phone to Corey, he's probably clever enough to
upload
that out. And you can send us an email at the lens. What is it? Sorry.
The Lenses Podcast at yahoo.com. Yahoo.
And we have... you know, Facebook gets a bad rap, but the
I enjoy
the special interest sounds really bad, doesn't it? The special interest Facebook groups are really good. So we have one, and that's the Lensless Podcast Facebook group, and we're up to about 525
people
on
it.
Wow. And it's very interactive and a very friendly place. So if you're not already following us along on the Facebook group, join in. You just have to answer a simple question, and we'll let you in.
Will we give them? Go ahead and tell them what the question is, Andrew.
Something about do you have an
interest? How many cameras does Andrew have?
Do you have do you have an interest in pinhole photography? Basically, something like that.
How many cameras does Andrew have? Yeah, that's a good one.
And on we're on the Twittery sphere at the Lensless, which is me, pretty much.
I don't do the Twittery sphere.
Awesome. Right. Well, there we go.
Thanks so much for coming and
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Sunday afternoon with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
And we'll have the show up and we'll talk to you soon.
We will. Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye. Today, Kath, me and Corey will have a bit of banter for a minute or two, and we'll one of us will introduce you.
You can banter along with us if you like.
Yeah, you can do. Yeah, you can just join in.
I don't know if my banter is at the same level. I think you two have probably got lots of experience of it by now.
Andrew makes it so easy.
And the only ones I've listened to, there's been lots of discussion about where the wives know about purchases, and I'm afraid I can't join in with that one. So